When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh man, it's a Friday night delight draft day number one. It's the last weekend of April, week before Backlash. I almost call it WrestleMania Backlash. They're breaking down SmackDown. What's going on, everybody? Today, Flobo Boys here with the Wrestling Inc. Friday night SmackDown after show. Matt Coon cannot be here tonight. He has some technical issues, but it's okay because I'm not alone. I'm being joined with a man that has a million and one books and periodicals of the wrestling arts and sciences, George Hermosa. What's up, sir?
Hey, pick a number between like one and like 200.
199,
which means when you come over my house, I am going to make, I'm going to make JD's venison stew.
You know what, George? I've known you for 5 years. You've never invited me over your house at all.
I invited you one time.
No, you didn't.
Because I ordered the 2019 pay-per-view of All Out. So I invited all my AfterBuzz buddies.
I wasn't there yet.
Yes, you were.
Oh, I totally didn't want to go. That's
different. Okay, yeah, maybe. I think everybody either that could have made it. But if they couldn't have made it, I think it's because either you're out of town or maybe I know you're a busy guy outside of the wrestling world.
I am not busy at all. I kind of walk around. I tell my parents.
You're like commentating for some influencer league. Hey, you're traveling to Australia for Elimination Chamber.
Social media is not real. All right, it's all green screen.
So you didn't go to Australia?
I mean, I did, but it was all green screen. I was in my hotel room the entire time. That makes sense. I'm just putting out there.
So now you know what we're gonna eat when you come over.
Hell yeah. We are broadcasting live on that YouTube, on that Twitch and X. Almost said the wrong word there. Drop some comments and they'll be reading them all throughout the show. We have a lot to get into. It's the draft. Formats are crazy, but we have to get into the news. What's going on? The rest of the news wire, George Hermosa.
News, headlines, nothing's scandals, going on this week. I know. So apparently first off, NFL draft was last night. So let's touch upon that. Tony Khan shows up in a neck brace.
Okay.
And I just have a, this is my rant of the, let's, I don't want to say of the day, because I might have another one at some point in the next half an hour or an hour.
You're planning multiple rants in one episode?
Many rants. So the first one is, so Tony Khan shows up in a neck brace because of what happened on AEW Dynamite. If you didn't see what happened at the end of AEW Dynamite, Google it, Twitter it, X it, because we all saw it. If you didn't see it, then you're out of the loop, and maybe congratulations, because you're not really in that loop. But with that said, he shows up with the neck brace on the NFL draft, and this is my rant of the day. If you really like AEW, you would have said, man, like, he's committed to the business. He's committed to the bet. He's selling it. He's, you know, paying tribute to Andy Kaufman. Cool. Bravo. If you're a hater to AEW, y'all said, man, like, dude, what a nerd, what a dork. Like, he's in there, like, he's too committed, you know? And it's just one of those things where if he didn't show up with a neck brace, then all those AEW haters that clowned on him for wearing the neck brace, then you guys would have clowned on him for not wearing the neck brace. And it just so, like, I don't necessarily, like, listen, Michael Cole said it best at WrestleMania 40. He said it, but you know what he said at the end of WrestleMania? Yeah. I love professional wrestling. Didn't say I love WWE. He said, I love AEW. I just love professional wrestling. I relate, bro.
Okay, can you change up in here? What are you ranting on? Are you ranting the fact that we're tribalistic? Are you ranting on neck braces? You hate Tony Khan?
I'm ranting on the nobodies that like to comment and hate on just anything that happens when it comes to AEW. And I'm saying all that because it's going to lead into the actual story that we're covering, is that when he was on NFL Network today, you know, kind of covering a little bit of draft, there was some WWE talk. And the headline out of everything that he said was, he called not someone specific, but he called the WWE the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling.
And AEW was?
The Pepsi of pro wrestling.
What was the comparison? We're soda. He's a dude. Like,
and I don't again. So, but no. I said everything I said previously because I don't want. I don't want to ever come across as a hater. I speak in facts. I speak. I have an opinion, but a lot of my opinions are based on facts. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, "Oh, I don't like so and so because I don't like so and so." No, I like to have some form of, intelligence behind what I'm trying to say. I don't want to just say something. I don't like something just for the sake of I don't liking something. But with that said, I think this was probably a swing and a miss for Tony Khan in terms of how he described the WWE. I know there's a lot of scandals that are going on that we're just going to lead into our next story. But, obviously there's a lot of chatter on Twitter that kind of saying like, oh, well, he just said what needed to be said. And there's a lot of people that are saying, well, you can't really compare all the hardworking people that aren't involved in scandals in WWE to one of the big scandals that happened in the entertainment industry. So, I mean, essentially that was kind of what happened with Tony Khan today.
Okay. So here's what I understand about this. And maybe I'm not the authority and I don't choose to be, I'm just a guy who does a wrestling podcast, multiple ones at the fact, Google me y'all.
Draped in gold, hashtag.
Hashtag draped in gold, I get it. I understand, you get injured, you have the neck brace. If all you had to do was show up and be like, wink, wink, wrestling is tough. And that would have sold. Or that would have promoted Dynamite. And that's what you really want to do. You want to promote Dynamite. And I think the original sin, if there ever was one for AEW, is that you've told me there was the alternative by saying what they're not. We are not WWE. So you have this moment where you could have been like, oh, man, the toughest, biggest, strongest men and women are on Dynamite on Wednesdays. Check it out on TBS. Yeah. You say, I'm the Pepsi, which is perennially a number two brand in that market. And you compare it to somebody who's been convicted of, I understand you're going
accused.
For it.
Yeah.
But it's, Harry Weinstein was. But I'm just kind of like, what was the point? Like, if the idea is when you're in a CEO of wrestling, whether you like your competition or not, you're supposed to push the genre forward. And I'm not sure if I was a wrestler in one brand and my wife was on another brand, I would feel positive.
I think we live, and it's not just pro wrestling. I think it's all of life in general. We have a tendency, and I say we because obviously I'm sure I do it as well. We have a tendency to, whenever we want to praise something, I don't know why I'm holding a teddy bear. Whenever we want to praise something, we tend to put something else down in order to kind of build what we're doing up. And it's just like it doesn't have to always be that way, right? Like, we see it all the time in sports. We all want to talk about how LeBron is a GOAT, or we all want to talk about how Kobe's one of the best. Oh, well, he's not as good as Jordan. Oh, he's not as good. It's like I'm not focused on putting someone else down. I'm more focused on putting all the glory on the person I'm trying to put over. And I think that's what maybe was the missed part of today's Tony Khan's comments is you have a way to there is a way to put over whatever it is that you want to put over without putting down something else, whether it's true or not, whether it's in there's accusations or not, whether it's ongoing, there is a way to put over your product without having to, because essentially the headline is not AEW is such a great product. AEW is the Pepsi. AEW is this. AEW is a great alternative. The headline is Tony Khan says WWE is the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling.
I mean, yeah, and also if you're seeing it in the Pepsi headquarters, like, what the hell? But anyway, what's is going on in the news there, George? Man, tell me.
So the news that kind of broke a little bit right before SmackDown, and I'm kind of I'm a little invested in this much because I don't know what it means. So I kind of wanna. I mean, I have an idea, but I kind of want to know what the next step is going to be. It looks like it's going to be an interesting weekend. Vince McMahon. First of all, I don't think this part is that much of a surprise. Vince McMahon pretty much put all the shares up. For sale for TKO, which essentially leaves McMahon with absolutely no kind of affiliation for the first time ever with the WWE in any way. And obviously TKO, that to me is no surprise. To me, the real headline is the CEO of the WWE, Nick Khan, putting up all of them, not 90%, not 80%, but 100% of his own TKO shares for sale. Like, again, I apologize for not being maybe too familiar with how the stock market works, but considering he's a CEO, I can imagine that's a really big deal. For the most part, usually it's the – obviously Vince was always kind of the majority shareholder of the WWE, but the fact that Nick Khan is a CEO and essentially selling off all his shares You know, there's a lot of rumors that right now going on maybe why he's doing that. I'm not going to get into that because I don't want to speculate either way. Because again, I don't know that whole situation. But I think that's a pretty big deal in terms of what's going to happen next.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why anyone would divest any kind of holdings when it comes to professional, or any kind of like stock holding, any position. You would do it because of pressure from the board, or because of an elective situation, or you think you're going to have a position that would be a conflict of interest on the line. We don't know what's happening when it comes, but it is interesting it happened now, right before the big summer push, or after Mania and the big summer push.
For because it can mean so many different things. It can mean that, hey man, he just wants to sell it off. He wants to be, obviously it's probably worth millions and millions and dozens of millions of dollars. It can mean that maybe there is something going on that we don't know about behind the scenes, or maybe that's kind of, you know, coinciding with what the Vince news is, or maybe, again, it can be anything. Maybe I look at it like this too. If I'm going to think glass half full,
hell yeah.
Tony Khan, I'm sure he's what, late 40s, early 50s. I'm guessing. I don't know exactly how old he is, but he grew up the majority of his life with goals and aspirations. And I'm almost 99, not almost, but I'm 99.999% sure that one of those goals and aspirations.
He's 41.
He's 41, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
what the hell was that?
What am I doing with my life? No, one of those goals and aspirations. How old was he when he did Wheel of Fortune? So one of the goals and aspirations of his life, aside from winning Wheel of Fortune, was, I guarantee, was not being a CEO of the WWE. And I say that because we don't know if he's got more goals and aspirations than what he's doing now. And a way to get to that next step is to maybe just wipe his hands clean of whatever he's doing now. Who knows? Maybe he's moving on to bigger and better things. Nobody's, you know, if I had a chance to sell all those shares and be an immediate millionaire, I'd probably do it. And especially if I have something maybe better on the horizon.
Well, I mean, that's definitely true. Can only speculate about that. Thanks so much for hanging out in the chat, though. If you got some questions or comments, let us know, because we're just hanging out here. It's draft night. WWE draft is so exciting. People are loving it, except for some people on Twitter, George included. Come to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio. Now, we have the setup that Roman Reigns is out of the draft. We have the setup that NXT is basically college football, and they're at home. We need to be picked up before we get to the picks in the first round, because we didn't get a wrestling match about half an hour into this one. What were your thoughts about this year's interpretation of the draft? You have the champions are now being tied to their brand. We're having equal number of picks per round, and we're having two draft pools like in previous years.
It's crazy how it, you know, they finally change the presentation of the belts, in terms of there's no longer a Raw set of championships and there's no longer a SmackDown set of championships. And it wasn't until they got rid of those names where finally the champions are protected. Like, you would think that in the past couple years, the Raw Women's Champion would be protected. The SmackDown Tag Team Champions would be protected. But it's so, like, at least we're not going to see that anymore, as far as like, hey, so I guess we're going to switch titles now. And
yeah, that was always weird. Yeah.
So that was always weird. I as a sucker of the purity of pro wrestling, I was always not a fan of that kind of lineage, in terms of like when you look down Wikipedia and you see like, okay, so-and-so won. Wait, they just handed over the belts just like that? Like, that's lame, you know? Oh,
wow. So never, the Charlotte Becky transfer is pretty cool.
Yeah, the promo or the segment was cool. It was interesting. Yeah. I'm sure you can read it all about it in Becky Lynch's new book. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if I want to save my spiel, my second rant for the beginning or the end of the show.
Oh, let's, well, whatever the spark ignites, man. Wherever the fire burns. Okay. So our show actually starts off with the AJ Styles, Cody Rhodes contract signing. It was actually pretty civil. Of course, we have that age-old trope of someone who's facing Cody mentioning Dusty Rhodes. I guess it's going to be a thing every single time. But it didn't blow up. There weren't any power slams through tables. It seemed like there were both two guys who understood what was at stake, and we're going to have ourselves a match that's going to be an instant classic. Or will we? George, quick question. Are you jazzed about AJ Styles being the first number one contender for Cody's championship?
I think it's going to be a fun match. Interesting that they didn't kind of touch upon a lot of the past stables that they each were part of, especially when they kind of do make a lot of little references like that in the past, you know, with Cody and everything. But yeah, just straight up, AJ Styles is great. Cody Rhodes is great. I think this is a great first number one contender for Cody Rhodes. It's going to be a great title defense in 8 days at Backlash France. Is the full name Backlash France or just Backlash?
I think it's Backlash, but it's just they're calling it like it's subtitled. Like Clash of Castle Glasgow is kind of Clash of the Castle, but it just happens to be a Glasgow. Yeah, Nick Khan is 46. Tony Khan is 41. I wasn't sure which Khan George is referring to. But yeah, I thought it was pretty solid. I'm on board. Even though I would like to have LA Knight up in that situation, I understand why the first challenger needed to be somebody with edge. A little bit of a heel. All right, so round one draft is on. We had Cody Rhodes and Triple H giving us our draft picks. Because on Wrestling Inc., they are instructed us to go in order. We're doing this as it's happening. So in round one, SmackDown picks Bianca Belair and Carmelo Hayes, while Raw picks up main event Jey Uso and Seth Rollins. Talk to me about this one. NXT getting a pick in the first round?
What? I was definitely surprised. I was not surprised at him getting picked. If anybody watched our show on Tuesday when we covered NXT, I think Carmelo. Yeah, a couple people. Carmelo Hayes was no shock in terms of getting drafted.
First round. Yeah,
I didn't expect. I mean, he got drafted before Seth Rollins.
I mean, yeah, to be fair, the draft order was like wonky. Like LA Knight got drafted after Nia Jax. It was
like I'm all for Bianca Belair going first. I think that is phenomenal. I think that is awesome. I think she's a game changer. She's pretty much delivered in every single thing that she's done in the last 3-4 years. So that to me, not shocking, but I'm like, kudos to that. But yeah, Carmella going before Seth Rollins, like, I'd be pissed if I was Seth Rollins. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying that in terms of kayfabe as well, because you see that in NFL draft. NFL draft, we saw a lot of people like literally a little upset because they didn't go as high as they thought they were going to go. Or maybe they thought like, hey, man, I'm better than that guy. Why is that guy going before me?
Yeah, exactly. That should be ground to more storylines, but I'm totally getting to the weeds here. So before we get into the end of this segment, what I thought was interesting is that Carmelo Hayes actually comes out and challenges Cody to a match that night. Now, going into this episode of SmackDown, Carmelo Hayes was 0 for his last two, dropping the match against Trick Williams on NXT and at WrestleMania. We know what happened later on tonight. We'll cover it. But even though that Carmelo Hayes is on a new show, do you think these strings of losses can hurt his stock a bit?
Not at all. I mean, it's one of those things where you have a match like this and Carmelo looked like he belonged. Again, I think a lot of people recognize that he's new to the brand. He just came up from NXT. And, you know, we all know that sky's going to be the limit for him.
Okay, before we move on, something that Bear Money says that really, really sticks in my craw. Why does no one ever say, quote, hey, we're going to make that pick during the draft? Like, make them go back to the war room or something. It makes them seem so pre-planned. I'm with you. The first year that SmackDown was on Fox, they tried that with a little, like, robot in the room.
That was the worst.
That was the best one. That was in real time.
One of the best drafts. It was 2002 and 2004 and 2005. 2016 was pretty good too. But that 2019, I
like that one for what it was. The draft is always a weird thing. I think that's why they tried calling it Superstar Shakeup. That's what it is. Is that really a draft? There's only two teams in this league. Is that really a draft? You go from one to the other, or maybe NXT. You know what I'm saying? But like, I feel like.
I know. I agree. Makes sense. I agree.
We're going to cover all that draft stuff as we move on. Let's get this first match out the way. We had that LWO and that whole Legado de Fantasma thing. I was burnt out. I think the world's burnt out. I was hoping somebody would be drafted tonight. I'm not even sure if they're in the pool. LWO gets the win. But what happened after the match is the one that gives me a bit of pause. It was a surprise that really shocked nobody. It turns out that Carlito was the one that attacked Dragon Lee before WrestleMania. Another one backstabs Rey Mysterio. What is going on with La Familia?
I don't know what number is more. Rey Mysterio getting betrayed or Big Show turning face and heel?
Oh, that's a bet right there. Are there more wheels or doors in the world?
I don't know. I mean, it goes back a long way. Yeah, I think probably even before Eddie Guerrero back in 2005.
Yeah. I love Batista. You're my friend. All right. So what's up with Carlito, man? Why is he so upset?
We know why he's upset, because I've covered it many, many times previously on the show.
All right.
It's because he's never Rey Mysterio's first choice. I thought he was going to be Rey's partner at WrestleMania. I thought, and especially it kind of does make sense a little bit where Carlito took out Dragon Lee because he wanted to be in that WrestleMania slot along with Rey Mysterio. He wasn't, and now he's going to, you know, take it out on Rey Mysterio like we saw earlier today. And just because it was predictable doesn't mean I don't think it was bad. It was pretty much I expected it, and I think that the execution was pretty good.
I am so burnt out on the factions on SmackDown. Whether it's Final Testament, Street Profits, or lastly, Legado, LWO. I don't know if they need new dance partners or break them up or whatever.
I think they will. I mean,
there's not one faction that I'm like, I mean, yes, you're going to get that for sure. But I'm saying there's not one faction where I go, I'm going to buy the merch. I'm going to pop for them. I'm going to go wear their stuff. Even Alpha Academy until very recently, he's had the little goofy shoosh thing going before Chad went super heel. But like, this is kind of like, you guys have been fighting the same guys for like 4 months.
That's why we have a draft.
Moving on. I can't even call it a match because as I was writing up my notes, it was already over. Cedric Alexander in that, unfortunately, Cameron Grimes spot. I forgot that. Got that call this week. Against Bron Breakker in a match that lasted exactly 11 seconds. Bron Breakker is showing the world he's a man, but two things are against him. One, you got to tell me a story. And two, that theme song is weird, man.
Yep. There's really not much to say because whatever I say is going to be longer than the actual match. I'm kind of over these squash matches of Bron Breakker. I want to see a little bit more.
Tensai choke people out.
And no, like because I know he's worth a lot more than just a spear. Like so it's one of those things where you don't want to set the expectation that it's just going to be spear after spear after spear. I want to see him actually have a match. I want to see him, like, you know, show that he's actually able to, I guess, to like show suffering inside of a match and be able to come suffering. Back. Yeah, to be able to kind of come back. And I don't want to say like the inside terms, but like, you know, to kind of, you know, to show that he knows how to come back from a beatdown, right? Like he can't always go through his entire career just finding an opening and spear.
Right. Maybe he's like strong and smart. It worked for Goldberg.
It worked for Scott Steiner.
Who? Oh, yeah, right. I got 141, two-thirds chance of winning. Oh, man, good times. I think that to me, it's in wrestling lore. Like that, big man slapping meat, they're very things that you can say that only true wrestling fans get, and that's one of them. But, yeah, so how do you feel about Roman Reigns being outside the draft?
It makes sense. Obviously, he was clearly the easy number one pick. I remember when I saw the... I missed that first segment with Paul and Kayla. So when I saw the graphic, I was like, where's Roman? Like, he's clearly going to be the number one pick. And then I'm thinking like, oh, that's probably what they talked about. They probably said that Roman's not going to be part of the draft. I mean, I dig it. It kind of gives more anticipation for when Roman does come back.
Will he come back?
Oh, he's going to come back.
Acknowledge me.
It's going to be huge.
We get a little bit of that Tiffy time of the match flow and Tiffy epiphany, and that she will pay off for the match against Naomi later that night. Let's talk about round two of the drafts. WWE legend Michelle McCool and WWE Hall of Famer Tori Wilson comes out for the second round. SmackDown gets Randy Orton and Nia Jax, while Raw gets Bron Breakker and Liv Morgan. Now, these individuals are talented. These individuals are great, but all four of them felt like fourth or fifth round picks. What say you?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I kudos to Liv. I think she's a star in the making. I think she's due for a world championship world championship reign, actually. I think she's going to be next in line. A lot of people that were complaining about Becky Lynch winning on Monday, I think just stay tuned because I think we're going to see a lot of cool
things. Were you complaining on Monday that Becky Lynch won?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely. Were you?
I didn't care the way.
I
really did. Oh, yeah. And it's not against Becky. I just felt like Rhea was so dominant that and I understand now because champions were protected, so you had to have a champion before the draft. But a battle royal, it's such an old gimmick to have a new champion through battle royal.
It's like, fourth time we've ever seen it in WWE.
Like, come on, man. Oh, I went over the top rope, so I'm the best? That just seems really weird. Like, I want to beat somebody up and pin them. I'd rather Adam Pearce pick four people and have them have a match in the battle royal, right?
What if it would have been like a battle royal in the last two or last three or in like a triple threat match or something?
I think it's like a TNA gimmick, isn't it?
AEW? WWF did that in 1993. It was like a battle royal for the Intercontinental Championship, and it was Razor and Martel, the last two, and they ended up going
next week. I feel all championships need to be done by pinfall submission or giving me the title.
Rather hand it to me as opposed to just going over the top rope.
No, but I mean, like, if a championship is presented and it goes, you get it. I mean, I get that. Mm-hmm. But like the whole over top rope is like, oh, I have better balance than you. I'm the world champion. But nothing against Becky. But you're saying.
You want to know my beef with this segment?
You have many beefs, George.
I mean, just with this segment and many other and many others as well.
Tell me.
When I saw Michelle McCool was going to be on SmackDown and give one of the picks, I was very disappointed I did not hear her theme song. Shout out to Tori Wilson. She's got a great theme song. Shout out to Lillian Garcia, who sings the theme song. But the "You're Not Enough for Me," that's one of the all-time greats. That's up there with "You Look So Good to Me" by Billy and Chuck.
No, no, it's a cult.
"You're Not Enough for Me" by
It's a cult.
Cool.
It is a song that we remember fondly. But you're telling me the greatest? Absolutely not. Absolutely
One of the all time best, like definite top 15.
That's not all time best. Top 15. No one says that. You're the top 15 talent. No, best is top 3, top 5, maybe. Top 10.
That's best right now. But when we're talking of all time, you got to open it up to like 15-ish.
Look, I like Michelle McCool's theme. It's definitely her. But
it's flawless.
I love it. It took me a long time to think about what her theme was. If you like put on a quiz show, like it wasn't like Trish Adams or Lita's. It wasn't Becky Lynch's. It wasn't Sasha Banks. It's a lot down, further down that list.
I'm going to do something on my channel, like ranking the top theme songs of all time. And you're going to see Michelle McCool or Lay Cool is going to be like definite top, maybe like top 12. If I say like top 12, does that mean it's like I rank it number 12?
Yes.
Yeah,
what it means. Yeah. Look, if you're saying all time between both genders, absolutely not. If you're saying all time against women, I still say no, but that might be closer.
We got SmackDown to cover, but on a different time, we're going to sit there and we're going to rank the top 10 theme songs for like females.
Anyway, thoughts about this? The ones actually changed brands. Bron Breakker going to Raw, Nia Jax going to SmackDown. Who got the better deal?
I think Nia Jax going to SmackDown is absolutely the better deal. Nia Jax has been on such a tear since coming back to SmackDown, and I love every single part of it. I get a little upset when people think of like Nia Jax as being stiff or maybe like, oh, she laid it in there right now. But like when Aja Kong did it in All Japan, like nobody batted an eye. It's like people are just trying to hate just to hate. But Nia Jax, people don't realize just how good Nia Jax is.
Nia Jax.
She's a future worker. She's going to be... I'd be shocked if she's not the one to dethrone Bayley.
I like Nia Jax as much as it would pain me because you know how much a Bayley fan I am. I would understand if Nia Jax became champion, but round two, same with Randy Orton. Round two, Liv Morgan. Round two, this round two felt so round five to me. Is that weird?
With Randy Orton, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to defend it here. So you're saying he should have went round one?
No, I'm saying is that there was actually a draft board, and I'm not sure who was eligible, who wasn't. Mm-hmm. And someone says, my fourth pick overall for my brand is Nia Jax. No offense to her, but I feel like there was people in line that I would say, I'll pick them over. Why not? Because, again, if you're looking at wrestling as a sports presentation, Nia Jax has an awful win-loss record after Elimination Chamber. Why would she be round two?
Yeah.
All right, well, moving on. Tama Tonga and Kevin Owens get into it, man. I guess the new bloodline is here to stay. And that actually cuts into the next segment with the Kabuki Warriors, which is a name I really can't stand. Having a bit of a shout down with Bianca Belair, the overall number one pick, and Jade Cargill, the Storm. Tama Tonga, Kevin Owens, those teams seem to be very spicy. What say you about the MFT?
I mean, I dig it. I like that they're kind of taking their time with this too. I'm sorry. You know, by all means, Kevin Owens should be mad after what happened last week. And and that to me adds to a sense of realism, right? As soon as they touch down on the arena, who's there? He was waiting for him. And I like little things like that where it's like typically maybe in the old era, or maybe who knows, maybe not. We would wait to see Solo and Tama, whoever's involved, have a promo in the ring. And then in the middle of the promo, somebody come out there to get their revenge. Like that's like, why were you waiting for so long to go out to the ring as opposed to what we're seeing now, a little bit more logic. Kevin Owens literally is there as soon as they touch down and is like, all right, you know what? I'm not going to wait till some promo. I'm going to try to kick your ass right now.
Yeah, Kevin Owens on SmackDown, kind of in a creative renaissance of his things, representing the everyman. Unfortunately, he always seems to get bested by Tama Tonga. Where do you think he's going to fit in, Tama, in this new bloodline thing?
I think it's going to be as soon as – I think he's going to especially raise his stock in so many ways when Roman comes back. That story is going to go on such overdrive in so many different ways to so many different elements once we have Jimmy come back, once we have Roman come back, once we kind of have The Rock come back in, a, you know, 6 months or so. We're going to see something that we're all going to – it's funny, like a couple weeks ago when everything started happening with the new bloodline, I was like fantasy booking in my head, right? And okay. I'm like, oh my God, I wish I would have said this on the show.
Hell yeah.
It was like, we're going to see at War Games, we're going to see Rock, Tama, Jacob Fatu, and Solo going up against Roman Usos. And then, oh my God, I'm thinking of I couldn't think of a fourth. I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be the honorary Us. And I'm like, I start tweeting it and I'm like, oh, everybody else has the same idea as well. I thought I was the only
Marks.
One.
All yeah. of you guys are Marks. I'm not a big
Marks. But either way, if that happens, man, like seeing like Roman and the honorary Us, Sami Zayn, come back together in some ways, be like just Roman coming out and saying like, listen, like apologizing for something. And then, you know, maybe them doing the handshake again. That to me is going to be the ultimate pop.
Let me be honest with you. Let me ask a good honest question. I like this. I'm on board. So I am just being devil's advocate or just asking devil's advocate. But this could be very NWO 2000 if you're not careful with this new era of the bloodline. What do they have to do to make sure they were still thinking this is like a chapter in this like ever-evolving saga and not some quasi-reboot thing?
So you're saying 2000 or when they went their separate ways to mean like Wolfpack and NWO Hollywood?
No. Wolfpack was cool. I like Wolfpack. I'm actually a Wolfpack fan. I mean that like last days was like, yeah, the story's over. What are we doing? Oh, we're still trying to make this happen.
When you mean
pretty much passes.
You mean in the sake of like just trying to stay, have the name still relevant? Like, oh, mm-hmm. We have nothing going on. Let's bring back the NWO because that was such a great idea back in the
Correct.
Day.
Correct.
It's still relevant in terms of today, just because the thing about when that came back in 2000, it had gone away for like 8-9 months. And it just, and especially like at its core, you had Hogan, Hall, and Nash. When NWO 2000 came back, it was like just kind of Hall and Nash, and Hogan was kind of nowhere to be found at that time.
Down there.
So in this case, we still have all the supporting parts. Or we still have-
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All the main players as well. We have Roman, we have Jimmy Uso going to be there. I'm sure Jey Uso is going to be somehow involved as well. Obviously, we don't know yet. And obviously, we have new elements, new branches to kind of come along the family tree. We have Jacob, we have Tama, who knows who else. I personally would love to see at some point a female member of the bloodline.
Naomi,
I
think that, or Nia Jax?
I'd love to see Naomi.
Wow, but she feels the glow. That wouldn't fit.
I think it's time for a heel run for Naomi. I think Naomi well at the same
time
she wouldn't be a heel because Jimmy Uso is going to be a babyface.
Really?
You don't think Jimmy Uso is going to come back as a babyface? You think he's just going to come back still as a heel after he got the living but Jesus beat out of him by the MFT?
I mean, yes, he gets his revenge, but I don't say that makes him a face. You can get your revenge and still be like,
I think with especially how everything played out at WrestleMania, regardless of how people thought about that match, I think it's going to lead into a big Usos reunion. I don't think it's going to go full-time tag team, but I do think they're going to have some big kind of reunion.
I hate fantasy booking. You'll notice I try to avoid it, but I would much rather see a Game of Thrones between Roman, Solo, and Jimmy and have a three pick your pony who's going to be the new tribal chief and have everyone have their own positives and negatives for being... the next tribal chief.
That's interesting.
You don't know what the tribal chief actually does, so it's like, yeah, whatever. You're all chiefs in my book. So that's kind of the thing. Naomi on a heel run, it'd be kind of interesting to see if he does that. But if he doesn't do that, you can still feel the glow while being part of the tribe, I guess. Anyway, round three is up here at the draft. And again, this is only the day one of the draft, part two. Is
day one-ish. See what I did there?
Yeah, you have kids. Dad jokes. I get it. You're going to have more rounds on Monday night. So only half the roster is eligible. So this one, SmackDown gets LA Knight.
Yeah.
And the bloodline as we know it right now, it's Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Paul Heyman. Well, Raw gets Ricochet and Sheamus. Now, Sheamus is an all-time character of mine. I love Sheamus. And Ricochet has a lot of wins again. But I feel SmackDown got the lion's share of this round here, George.
Yeah, I think this is the part of the show where I'm going to start ranting.
Oh, snap.
How many people do we have in the chat? Like, do we have a number?
We do.
We have a good amount, right?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know if I should tell people numbers.
Answer, yeah. Can anybody in the chat, whether it's live chat or maybe down in the comments below, can you guys actually legit tell me if you actually are looking forward to the yearly draft as a show? Not as a concept, but as a show, as a presentation. Like, are you guys like, man, I can't wait for that WWE draft. I think this concept, I'm actually very surprised that this was one element from the old regime that carried over, because I cannot emphasize just how much I am not a fan of this presentation of the draft. I was a big, big fan of how it was 2004, 2005.
Can you give some context for our newer fans?
So obviously 2002 was the first time they had a brand split.
Love that one.
They had to do it the way they did because obviously it's like a hard split. First brand extension ever. Again, that I understand why they did it or how they did it. A couple months later, when they had Bischoff and Stephanie as GMs, they kind of did this like, oh, I'm going to sign this person, I'm going to sign that person. That to me was a month of 2 months of just pure gold on WWE TV, because you had no idea who was going to show up. On the first SmackDown, you had Stephanie sign Brock away from the WWE or from Monday Night Raw. And then when he became WWE champion, she signed the WWE championship as exclusive of SmackDown, and I loved it. 2004, you had like a lottery. You had like the balls inside, you know, the kind of the Royal Rumble spindles or whatever it is, and they literally pick out names and be like, oh, drafted to SmackDown is Triple H, and then you see the reaction like, oh my god, no. And then like, it was a really big deal. There was only like six people from each side, and I'm only bringing it up now
because
now, you know, in this round we had LA Knight staying on SmackDown, Ricochet staying on Raw, the Bloodline staying on SmackDown, Sheamus staying on Raw. Like, what are we doing? Like, why are we wasting so much TV time on things that aren't changing? Everything else is the same. You know, just change it up like we did in 2004. Or remember 2005 when they had that whole month of like, all right, we're going to have a draft month. The first Raw, the highlight reel outcomes from SmackDown, John Cena. You know, and then week after week, we would see new faces on Raw. We would see new faces on SmackDown. Up until the very last SmackDown of that month, we saw Batista, who was the World Heavyweight Champion, show up on SmackDown. And it was like, you know, then now this is our roster. It wasn't just like
that was a deep cut, because I stayed up late to see what the SmackDown Championship actually was going to look like.
Yeah, you know, it was supposed to be for the not even like the new the SmackDown World Champion. And then Batista came out at the end. But yeah, like that was fun. None of this, like, oh, and he even had Corey Graves, like, oh, Ricochet going to, I mean, he's staying on Raw. Like, dude, like, everybody. And so my point is, I'm actually surprised that concept, because it's very, very flawed in many ways, carried over to this new regime of how they present television.
I'm not going to sit here and try to defend the draft, right? It's definitely a concept. Look, there's a lot of concepts in wrestling that I don't particularly care for, but I'm going to tolerate. Everyone knows me long term, knows I hate Survivor Series, but it's not going away. So you have the draft. The idea is kind of hot. You got to do something cool, but they told you going into this one that people are going to be more conservative. They're going to try to maintain their rosters, live bit of spice to add some things. This round in particular was a bit egregious. I think LA Knight's a SmackDown talent, but when he was retained, I go, huh, well, who the heck is he going to fight next and all that jazz? And so I think my problem comes from the wattage of the stars themselves. There weren't as much NXT talent being called up. There wasn't as much as like the main event scene being called up. This one definitely felt like a filler round in a show that had a lot of filler in it, but I don't hate the draft.
You know what I'd love to see, though? Maybe, you know, they can have a shakeup, you know, just to switch things up. But maybe, like, especially since they're debuting on CW back in October, maybe around September, treat it like the NFL draft. they can have like Raw and SmackDown draft a few people from NXT and just strictly NXT, you know? And that to me, if you want to make things more realistic, that's how you can make it more realistic. Actually draft some of these people that barely started wrestling a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that have been down in NXT and doing their thing. Draft some of those people, but let it, you know, give it its own little show, but not like, oh, draft going to Raw. It's going to be somebody, a Raw superstar Ricochet. Like, yeah. Okay.
So I have a question for you. It's actually the same question that Steven says in the chat. He says, there was a year when they done Raw versus SmackDown matches and the winner got the draft pick for that round. That worked. True or false?
That was fun. Why? Because they're not acting like somebody's a big, it's a big deal for somebody staying on the same show. I'm saying this format, I think, is very flawed. Anytime where you're actually, it's actually newsworthy of somebody going to a different show, that's good. I love that. But not like, so-and-so's, and then you have like SmackDown, the boardroom. Yeah, we got him. Like, okay. Like,
well, that's what do you want them to do? Cry?
No, just leave it out. Just don't even show it, you know.
No, that I disagree with. I want boardrooms. I want people to care. I don't want to. The thing about the draft thing, the idea of reading off a card is already kind of lame because it's a visual art form. Wrestling will always be a visual art form. So people showing up and reading a card will always be walk. So I need some kind of like reaction to tell me how big this is. Now I watch NXT, but if I didn't, I need someone to tell me why I should care about a Carmelo Hayes, and that helps me to realize he's a big deal.
And also, too, like, they made such a big deal, and I know they're going to do this on Raw as well. They made such a big deal about Nick Aldis signing Carmelo Hayes, not Carmelo, Bron Breakker, about Nick Aldis signing Jade Cargill. So that completely goes out the window for the draft that was like a month later.
Yeah, the draft tells you that sign your talent now, but you can risk losing them if you don't pick them. Hey, look, I actually agree with you, George. I got to do something for the content. But I guess what I'm saying is I'm always neutral on this one because if it's something I don't like in wrestling, I kind of just wait for the next boss. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't like Survivor Series. I think Money in the Bank needs a refresh or a new gimmick inside the match itself. The fight pit needs to have more appearances a year. NXT Underground might be overused. That's all those things.
But the draft, one time a year it gets used.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the draft, at least to me, when it's on 2 days, is something that's fun. But I think what makes it fun for everyone else, with your friends or your podcasters, is that you have two or three or four podcast hosts drafting. You only have Raw and SmackDown. It's like, well, how much can you shake it up if only two teams are involved? That isn't, I don't know.
I do have a quick question, though, and we'll move on.
Hell yeah.
Steven Robertson, who's JR and who's the king?
All right, so we got to move on to our number one contendership for the women's WWE Women's Championship. Bayley's on commentary here, still doing the heelish thing, but still being nice at the same time. It's Naomi against Tiffany Stratton. But guess what? The match ends in no contest because SmackDown's latest draftee, Nia Jax, gets involved and lays out Bayley. And even though Tiffy timed it, one of her patented moonsaults, the damage had already been done. Bayley's laying out. She has a triple threat match next week in Backlash, but Nia Jax is waiting in the wings. George, walk me through this one.
See, this was everything right about a women's division. You have just people in general just wanting to be at the tiffy top. Stop. You know, Nia Jax coming in. Nia Jax coming in and already showing that, hey, man, I'm not going to wait till next week on SmackDown. I'm on SmackDown now. I'm a SmackDown superstar for the first time ever, by the way. I'm going to make my presence felt immediately. So that, to me, is everything right about how somebody should be involved in wanting to be the champion.
Okay, I like it. Do you think Nia Jax gets involved in Backlash next week?
1,000%. Actually, you know what? I don't think so. It's a triple threat match. You know, she's not really neutral to, she's not really loyal to anyone specific. So I don't see her trying to have somebody win the championship. I'm gonna make Tiffy win. No, I don't think there's any reason for that. I think she's gonna be, you know, waiting. And she's going to want to get the winner of whoever wins that triple threat match, which is going to be Bayley.
It should be Bayley because Bayley is my favorite champ. I'm saying I'm a big Bayley fan. Just putting it out there, you know.
There is no stopping us now.
That's true. Actually, a reference I'll take. Let's talk about your friends, the Final Testament, beating people backstage. They quote scripture, I guess, and I'm supposed to be intimidated by them. All right, there you go.
Why are they attacking New Catch Republic?
Because we get what we want, and yeah, we're bad asses that wear flak jackets. Okay.
Yeah.
That's your
point. I mean, if it leads to a good match, I'm all for it. You know,
will it though? We had it for 4 months. It never led to a good match, man.
Aren't Authors of Pain wrestling for the NXT Championship this upcoming Tuesday?
Yes, I believe. At least they're in the picture.
Huh. I hope they win.
No, I don't.
I really hope they win.
No, you don't.
What do you call Axiom and Nathan Frazier?
Axiom and Nathan Frazier?
Really? You don't have a team name for them?
I don't.
Why not?
Because Axiom's way better and cooler.
Every tag team should have a team name.
Disagree. What we call Bianca and Jade? Remember, amazing. You're on live. Don't say I'm stupid. You're broadcasting live.
Amazing. That's what they are.
What about Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan? What was their team name?
Seth Jordan, obviously. No, I mean, honest, but it's just one of those things where I just respect it a lot more. It just kind of shows me that they're on board with the tag team division, sure, right? Like, they're not just kind of throwing. I know Miz and Morrison never had a name. I know Edge and Christian never really had a name. But it just, you know, there's an exception to the rule. If Bianca and Jade are going to commit to being a team, then yeah, I think it's fine if they don't have a name. But I know I'm always a sucker, and not like Jericho. Jericho always has to have like, oh, now we're Jer-hook or Lion Hook, whatever it is. Or he always like, that's just
Jericho.
Yeah, Jericho. I like Jericho. That they had a great theme song. Speaking of theme songs, they had a great theme. So once they got rid of the mashup and actually created a whole new song,
oh, yeah,
that was featured on like WWE Volume 9 or something. Like, okay, that was a great song.
It's kind of a deep cut here, but I love the stupid mashup of Show Miz. I still sing that. Well, it's the big show I came to play. In a world where people are getting remixes like AJ Styles, I like the fact that Miz has said, this is my cheesy theme. I'm going to double down. It's going to be iconic because I'm going to play for 15 years. Get over it, you know?
I don't know if this is a hot take or not,
uh-oh,
but I think AJ Styles' new theme song is great.
Not for arenas. It's great to listen to it on your iPad or Spotify or whatever, but in an arena, you're like, and that's the problem I have with the new themes. I'm not a Death Rebel hater, but there's so many themes that start off so similar. You're like, who the hell is that?
Oh, no, sounds similar. They like A-Town Down and like DIY has like the same exact format. Although, here's some news. I don't know if anybody's like, anybody saw. Did you guys see? There's like a video going around that is like a guy. It's a guy. I'll build it up. There's like a guy getting into it with like an Uber driver. I guess the guy, the passenger, ordered an Uber for like four people, but the car only fit like, he ordered for four people, but he had five people total in his party. And the Uber driver was like, no, I can't have you in my car. And the guy was like accusing the driver of like being like anti-Semitic and kind of wow, taking it there. Apparently the guy, the passenger, is one of Def Rebel.
Oh yeah, they're good people. Like, I'm not knocking them, and they're way better at doing this than I am. But like, and I understand we have revisionist history, because I know when Jim Johnston tours his last days, they were saying all of his songs were sounding similar too, and similar riffs. But I think you're seeing, and I'm not a hater, because there's some things I love, but you're seeing it at the Rumble. You go back to watch the Rumble this year, mm-hmm, and last year, we're going like, wait, who is that? And then they go, oh my gosh, it's whatever, whatever.
No, I agree.
Crazy. Whereas 10 years ago, it was like, oh damn, that's Tito Sabatelli. Oh wow, that's Chris Hero. Oh,
that
wow,
song was a banger. Sabatelli and Riddick Moss.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Song like, was a banger. I think that was CFO though.
That was CFOs. That was those NXT years of CFOs.
But even so, like I remember for the WWE Anthology album, they have like Hardcore Holly's theme song on there, and it starts off with like, "How do you like me now?" So that whole like catchphrase starting off the song, that's yeah, been around for like 30 years. So I don't know why everybody's trying to make it a big deal.
That doesn't count because that song is music library music. That is called Slow Death from the Music Bakery. I used it in a school project when I was a kid. Same with the Hardy Boys. Same with
Hardy Boys, yeah.
TNA. Those songs are all music library ones. But I know what you're saying. Like, stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Yeah, that's always been a thing. I don't know why everybody's singing that. It's just like new to Def Rebel. But that was a story where it was like the guy that was like complaining about – the driver being like this and that. I guess that was because I guess Death Rebel was three guys.
Yes,
I think that was one of the guys. So I don't know if that's going to blow up at any point in the next couple days.
Well, that said, I like Grayson Waller's stuff. He's pretty cool. It's uniquely him. When Grayson Waller's music hits, it's annoying, but it fits him, and it's like great. It's like great. I know exactly who this is.
I liked it.
What I want.
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah, and him doing a little like kangaroo moves or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's perfect. Just give me that. It doesn't have to be Glass Break or If You Smell. Just let me know when it hits. I know it's you. Like even Cody Rhodes, you know, we know it's him when it starts.
Mm-hmm.
It's downstate. Okay, so round four, which was the last round this evening, SmackDown Raw. We have SmackDown is getting Andrade and AJ Styles, which 2015 me will probably go nuts if those were drafted to a brand. And Raw gets Alpha Academy and Kiana James. Now, I like Kiana. She's actually one of my favorite wrestlers in NXT, regardless of gender. But I think she was surprised. I think people in NXT were surprised. And definitely Twitter was surprised. George, walk me through this. Kiana James going over to Monday nights.
It's funny. Anytime somebody from NXT gets drafted, I'm always instinctively like, wait, how long have they been there for? Oh, yeah. She has been there for a couple years already. And not to say that everybody that's been there for a couple years like should go up automatically, but you kind of think of just her trajectory in NXT. And like, I'm not saying she's not going anywhere. That's a good thing about NXT. There's always something to do for a lot of these talents. And there's always something for her to do. She plays a great heel. But it's like, oh, you know, there's really not much for her to do at the moment. She's not in the world championship contender or in that kind of storyline. Yeah. Let's see what she can do. She's got a gimmick.
Izzy Dream, her tag team partner.
What about Bayley when everyone else went up?
Fair enough.
What about Carmella when Enzo and Big Cass went up?
Man, there were times we didn't even need.
They're going to be fine.
You just need Enzo. No, I actually like Kiana James. I think the issue I had watching her NXT was like, okay, she has a gimmick or a personality or persona that is very standard. She is rich or she is successful. I'm not really sure. Better than you. I can get lost in the shuffle really quickly. It's like being the cocky heel. It can get lost in the shuffle really quickly. But, and I know I'm an old man, I'm saying this, if they gave her a little bit of that Alexandra York vibe of her beating you through algorithms and technology, I'll be on board with the quickness.
I'm all about the York Foundation. Anything with the name Foundation, I think is always going to be good.
Absolutely, even though the hearts are a bunch of hacks. But on the other side of things, you're talking about the retaining of talent. AJ and Alpha Academy do not move. Andrade does. Andrade goes to SmackDown, which seems to be really chock-filled with talent and less time to display. Andrade was somebody who always got lost in the shuffle when he was on Raw in the pandemic years. Mm-hmm. Went to AEW, who's really one of the first few guys in AEW got lost in the shuffle there too. Can Andrade stick out on this new tour with the E?
So my biggest fear is that they're just going to stick him in this Rey Mysterio LWO Legado storyline. And again, I know the narrative online. I'm not going to sit there and repeat it over and over again. I know the narrative online, how they keep all the Latinos together and all the, you know, the racists together, you know? And it's not even that. It just, I feel like they have so much more to offer. Like, I want to see Andrade, you know, I want to see him going up against Carmelo Hayes. You know, I want to see Andrade going up against AJ Styles. Like, I think that'd just be great. So I want to see a little bit more than what we see of what we've seen so far in terms of Andrade just getting involved with like Rey and Santos. Although that to me, once we get past Andrade versus Santos, because I think that's a big dream match for many people, then I want to see, you know, a little bit more from each person.
Well, let me ask a question. If you were a general manager of a brand, whatever brand you want to, and you had the choice of Santos Escobar or Andrade in 2024, who do you pick first and why?
Man, you're putting me on. This is a question you got to tell me before the show so I have time to.
No, spontaneous AF. No.
Well, the easy answer is going to be super kick. The easy answer is going to be who's younger, who's Andrade. But overall, this is going to sound weird, but I can say it. But I'm going to go with Santos Escobar. I think he's got a lot more to offer. I think his promo skills are more on par than Andrade. I'm not just saying that because obviously Andrade's English is a little broken at times. But I think Santos has got more to offer. I think he's got more accomplishments that he's had in WWE and NXT. And everything he's been doing, he's been crushing. Andrade is still kind of, you need to have him involved in the right thing. Right. As opposed to Santos, where we've seen him pretty much kill everything that he's been doing so far?
I ask you this question because even though they're very different as far as their movesets, on a surface presentation level, we take the show on the road, they could be seen as very similar. And I think WWE may be running into problems with archetypes. Not necessarily the same, but people who could be the powerhouses, the blonde bodybuilders, the African-American shredded gymnast kind of characters. Do you think if you're Andrade that you have a small window to stick out? Is there pressure there? Or are you made?
I think if there's any kind of doubt that anybody has, I think they're going to look like they have a small window. But just going back to what you just said, when after WrestleMania, when we saw Naomi, Bianca, and Jade, you know, be on the post show and showcase what they have to offer, I'm like, these three women could not be any more different in terms of what they have to offer. And that's if that presents itself, then there should be no excuse for why Andrade can't think he's got something completely different to offer than Santos Escobar. So if that at any point is a mindset for somebody, then yeah, you're gonna look at it that way. But if you think of yourself and says, you know what, I'm nothing like that person, I'm my own person, then you're gonna succeed.
Absolutely. I guess a lot of times we group people together, whether it's fair or not. But
yeah. Not even in a malicious way. I know a lot of people
that way. You know what I mean? Yeah. Back to my point. It's like wrestling is a visual art form. And so I always go back to WrestleMania 35, being up there in like way in the cheap seats. Like I was on Saturn, bro. seeing Braun Strowman and Ricochet walk down the ramp, and they're physically different, but it was bald headed guys in beards. Yep. I'm like, wait a minute. It's like clones of themselves. Let's get to our main event here tonight. Cody Rhodes versus Carmelo Hayes. And if you guys are watching the documentary Becoming Cody Rhodes, Carmelo Hayes, the man that trained Cody Rhodes as he got himself ramped up for WrestleMania season a year ago. Carmelo acquitted himself very well. Social media tend to say he is a made man even in defeat. Cody Rhodes can say he is a working champion. Looks like everyone walked away with a dub, even though Cody got the 1-2-3.
So there's a lot of comparisons that I saw with this and the match that we saw on Dynamite with Swerve against Kyle Fletcher. The biggest difference is I have full faith that they're still going to feature Carmelo Hayes in a major way. I don't feel that's going to be the same thing for Kyle Fletcher. So with that said, Carmelo is a main man. I mean, he don't miss. But, you know, and what a way to kind of showcase what you do have to offer, you know, in a major way on the main event of a major show against the major champion, Cody Rhodes. And this is one of those instances of you don't have to go over to get over. And Melo got over even though he took the L.
Think so? In night one or night three or night one as official SmackDown, his third appearance, he's already in the mix.
Yeah, because he shows that he can hang with the champion. That, you know, he's got show. It's not like he got buried in any way. It's not like he you know just lost in like 10 seconds, right? Like this isn't Cedric Alexander against Bron Breakker. This is somebody that's showing that, hey man, I was NXT champion just a few months ago, or maybe like 6 months ago, and now I'm here and I'm gonna show that I belong here.
I like that. Analysis, because I do think Carmelo has a spot here. I worry about his size, but maybe I'm just because I'm a certain age. I remember when wrestling was a certain size. So but shout out to the Matthews here. Submental draft results are in. Cedric Alexander and Shante the Adonis are going to SmackDown. Alba Fire and Isla Dawn to Raw. Baron Corbin to SmackDown. Oh, wow. Ivar to Raw. And the OC stay on SmackDown. Shayna Baszler stays on Raw. And Zoe Stark stays on Raw as well.
So as far as changes go, it looks like Alba Fire and Isla Dawn are going to SmackDown now. I'm sorry, to Raw, right?
Okay. That's the only change. And Baron Corbin technically had a free agent contract last year, even though he was in NXT. So I guess he's signed.
He's on SmackDown.
Yeah,
I hope they do something with Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. I feel like that's it's not even. I'm not gonna sit here and lie and be like, oh yeah, they have so much to offer, because I don't know. Yeah, they were NXT Tag Team Champions, but now I need to see what they can do on the main roster. And I just want to be able to see if they belong or how they belong on the main roster.
I'm torn because I feel like the magic stuff could work, but I think, and it's not their fault, I think post Bray Wyatt, it was kind of like a let's just like hang out and let if the Uncle Howdy thing just be there, our only supernatural stuff. But there was some teasing backstage with Pierce and or Nick Aldis and what they're going to do. But I was worried they were becoming another Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. So like it's really on them now to show me what it's going to be, because as it is right now, and I love them too, but Chance and Carter can't lose every week. You can't, like, if you're a general manager and you have a team losing every week, why would you put them on TV? Like, you gotta make the best money possible. So props to that. So after main event match, even in defeat, Carmelo Hayes does the whole I'm gonna get you soon. AJ comes out. This here's another civil handshake. No low blows, no through tables, nothing too spicy. Does this give you a little bit of a heat for Backlash? Is that are you already sold on this, or did you want something more?
I mean, I'm sold, but as far as the heat goes, I don't think it's there just yet. Is this the one I'm looking forward to the most? And Backlash, because yeah, I feel like they're still lacking a little, like, I hate you. No, I hate you. No, I want to be champion. No, I want to be champion. I mean, we're probably going to see a little bit more of that next week, just because it's going to be in front of a hotter crowd. I don't know if that plays into the creative when they kind of go through that. Obviously, SmackDown is going to be from France next week. Who knows? Maybe we're going to see a little bit. We've seen a lot of like the SmackDown at Puerto Rico before Backlash last year. That was just a great weekend in general. And that crowd made me more excited than by watching the next day. So maybe that's going to be the same thing this year.
I got to give it to you. I think Backlash is a perfect example. I think last year on paper, Backlash was the weakest pay-per-view or premium live event on paper. And I was like, I'll watch it because I'm a wrestling fan and they got my money and whatever. Well, not even by the end of it. It's the fact that the SmackDown started. And I was like, oh, San Juan is ready. They want this huge show. I'm in, and it felt like a big deal. And I always give Michael Cole and Wade Barrett the credit, because their match rundown was one of the best I've heard to get me excited about, like, a theme song playing, Puerto Rican flags everywhere. It was great. So, yeah, that matters. I'm a presentation mark. I love theme songs. I love stages. I love when the commentators run down what's going to be next week. Not in Excalibur way, but, like, everywhere else. You know what I mean? It's kind of a cool thing.
I'm excited for next week's SmackDown, though. Like, a lot of cool matchups. I want to see Authors of Pain and New Catch Republic. I think that's going to be a fun match.
For sure. Yeah. If you're watching in the chat so far, thank you so much for rocking with us. Let me know who you want to see be the big splash. Who is your big NXT dark horse? Who is the big trade you want to see? I want to know how deep outside the box you're thinking. That does it for us, though. Glad to be back next week to cover SmackDown as I go on a vacation. I'm going over a couple states out west. Going to hang out.
See, look at that. Look at that. You're like always doing something, always going places. That's amazing.
I am incredibly broke. So if you guys have, if you want my Cash App, I'll let you guys know in the chat below too. Please support my habit of travel.
My question is, who does everybody think is going to be the number one pick from Monday Night Raw?
Oh, it has to be. Well, you let us know. Odyssey Jones, who could it be? It's Drew McIntyre is number one. That's my guess.
What about CM Punk? Is it because he's hurt?
I think CM Punk will be a third round guy, because I think that's what you need at like 9 o'clock to be like, oh, him, yeah. But I think a number one overall is gonna be Drew McIntyre.
Interesting.
Yeah, Drew or Pink. George
Armand. Sorry, I just got an epiphany right now. Tiffany epiphany. That's the last thing. And it's not even like relevant, because I mean, can you imagine all the missed opportunities that were not made like 25 years ago by having NWO theme? Because I'm looking at your hat and I'm looking at my jacket, by having NWO themed like of different city colors or sports colors.
Yeah.
Like imagine an NWO themed like Mets colors, or going to like,
now they would.
Yeah, Staples Center, and seeing like Laker NWO or Dodgers NWO. Like, oh my God, like that's an easy like $10 million in merchandise right there.
WWE 30 years ago not make their merch a Fanatics experience to have that shared license, but now they do. So you can buy yourself a Mets championship if you have $500.
$550.
I'm good. George, where can people find you? I don't want the Mets that much, man. I'm sorry. I just want a New Jersey, the New City Connects. Like $150, bro. I'm broke.
Never been in New Jersey, but I do want to go one day.
No, you don't want to go to New Jersey.
I do want to go to New York one day.
You should.
One day. One of the days I'll go to, is Shea Stadium still around?
No, it's been around since 2009.
What's it called now? Oh, City Field. Yeah, lame. You can follow me at George Hermosa, GHERMOZA on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow my wrestling YouTube channel, TW Chatter, The Wrestling Chatter, on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, MySpace.
I can't get into MySpace anymore. I tried.
I know. I just want to rearrange my top eight. I got to went through some stuff 10 years ago, so I got to rearrange my top eight.
I just had Tom in my spot, but it's all good. As far as me, you can follow me on that X Affable Voice, you know, Wrestling Inc. I'm usually the SmackDown guy. I'm only here next week, though. But you can check me out on NXT. I do a show called Draped in Gold, where we break down the best things about NXT. It's like the First Take versus the NXT commentary. But until then, enjoy draft weekend. Let me know what your mock draft boards are and who's going to go number one on Monday Night Raw. Bang!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.